You might be opening your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 will be where we focus in this morning. A couple of notes before I get into the lesson. Number one, we did not have the Lord's Supper yet. We are changing that to after the sermon. So if you're wondering where that was, that is coming. We're just having the sermon before the Lord's Supper, changing the order around just slightly. Second note, let's not forget our theme for the year. Please remember when you leave the auditorium and or come in the auditorium to look up. To look up to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We've been talking about Jesus as the Lamb of God in several lessons so far this year. This lesson is not primarily on that theme specifically. Taking kind of a break so that during the year we can kind of hit some other specifics on that particular theme. But please remember to think about that as we're going through the year. Remember to look up as you leave to remind you of that theme for the year. And speaking of this new year, it's the end of January, and typically at the beginning of the year we think about some things that we can change in life, how things are going, what things need to be moved in a better direction. And now it's the end of the first month, and maybe we've forgotten about those already. The New Year's resolutions are no longer so much of a drive, and we're kind of getting back into life. You know, sometimes we're in life, and it just seems like we're just going around in circles, just the same thing every day. We get up, we go to work, or we do whatever we do to manage the home, and we go to school, and we come home and go to practice, or we watch some TV, or and then the next day we go to, you know, we go to bed, we get up, we go to work, we run around, we come home, we eat, we go, and then the next day we get up and we do it. It's the same thing, just a cycle over and over and over and over and over again. Where are we going? What are we really accomplishing anything? Well, the Lord wants us to accomplish great things in our lives. And what I would like for us to do in our lesson this morning is look at one individual in particular, the Apostle Paul. We have a lot of passages in the Bible. Obviously, he teaches a great deal. The Holy Spirit teaches a great deal through the instruction, through the teachings of the Apostle Paul in his various letters. But we also get quite an insight into his heart and into his motivation. And I'd like for us to focus in on these couple of verses here. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, where he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul accomplished great things in his life. And the reason why he did was that he didn't simply go around in the cycle of life and really not go anywhere. He had a tremendous passion, a tremendous motivating, driving force in his life. And I'd like for us to examine some aspects of that so that we understand, as Paul said, this one thing he did, one thing we can do. For us to accomplish great things, for us to have passion in our life, and move in a positive direction, we have a certain way that we view the past. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. What are those things which are behind? Well, I kind of see two things in the context. One in particular, and we'll focus in on right now, and that is, Paul did not seem to dwell on the accomplishments of the past so that hindered him from living with great passion in the present. Let's back up a few verses in this context and see what Paul could have been focused on but was not. He forgot those things which are behind. Begin with verse 2, chapter 3 and verse 2. "Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we of the circumcision worship God in the Spirit, rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so." Paul is making a contrast here between the Judaizing teachers and himself. The Judaizing teachers put a great deal of stock in their own merit, in their own accomplishments, who they were as religious leaders or religious people within the world, and who, what value they had in their service to God. The Apostle Paul said, I don't focus on who I am as a man. I don't focus on my own personal accomplishments or my own merit, my own talents and my own value in the presence of God, like these false teachers do. He says, and we continue here in verse 5, these are some of the things he could have had confidence in. And it's interesting that he lists seven things, a complete number in the Hebrew mind. These seven things could have been the accomplishments that Paul put all of his mind and his dwelling on. And unfortunately, that would have held him back from really accomplishing anything for Christ. He says in verse 5, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul could have looked back in his life and said, I am a great man. Look at the accomplishments that I have. Look at the qualities that I have. Look at the merit that I have in the service of God. And resting on those laurels, resting on those accomplishments, really not accomplishing anything in the future for his life, for the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, I could have had great pride in all of these things, but the problem is, if he or if we look backward on all that we've done, you know, we can do that sometimes ourselves, looking back at, well, let's see, I was baptized here, and I've been a faithful member of the church, and look at all of the things that we've accomplished of the church in the past. Look at all of the accomplishments that we have in the past, and dwell on those, and dwell on those, and dwell on those. The Apostle Paul says, I'm forgetting all of those things in the past. In fact, he says in verse 7, what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. But indeed I have counted all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered loss of all things and count them as but rubbish, that I may gain Christ. The problem the Apostle Paul had, the biggest problem he had, is that all of those accomplishments in the past were actually in error. He was actually not worshiping God the way that he should. All of the credentials that he had in the past were really not any good in the service of the Lord. So the Apostle Paul said, I had to stop all of that. I had to move in the right direction. I had to grab a hold of, I had to gain Jesus Christ. I had to make changes in my life. I could not rest on those laurels. I could not rest on what my position was, what my friends were, what my life was in the past. And I exchanged that so that I might gain Christ. It's interesting here in verse 13 when Paul said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. The word forgetting is in the present tense, which means continuous action. It was not a one-time act of the Apostle Paul, but he is saying here, I believe, that he was not dwelling on those things of the past so that he might be able to continue in the things of the future. I remember talking to an individual who became a Christian and became a gospel preacher. And he was talking about his life right now, and he said, you know, if I look back in my life, look back at where I was before I was a Christian, I was a supervisor, I had a great deal of education, and I was really going places in my job. I recently have talked to people who have kept their jobs. I quit to become a preacher of the gospel. But I talked to those people who were still in those jobs, and they've all advanced. And they're all making a lot of money. In fact, several of them are already at the point of retirement. And they have these nice retirements. They're doing very well. And here I am serving the Lord. If that individual had dwelt upon what he could have had, dwelt upon the accomplishments of the past, dwelt upon the merits of his past, there's a very good chance that it would have sapped his energy for the present. And he would not have been able to serve the Lord strongly now, thinking about all of those things he could have had in the past if he was not serving the Lord faithfully now. It could have caused him not to move forward in a positive way. The Apostle Paul said, all of that in the past, I'm forgetting about. I have kept that in the past, and I'm not allowing it to sap my energy. A second thing I think the Apostle Paul could have in mind when he says those things, forgetting those things which are behind, he could also have in mind his failures, all of the sins that he committed. Notice here in chapter 3 and verse 9. He says, "And be found in him," that is in Christ, "not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed unto his death." The Apostle Paul recognized that he was not right before he was a Christian. Yes, he had accomplished a great deal. Yes, he was very high in his religion, but he was not right. He changed all of that. He became a Christian so that he could be forgiven of his sins. But Paul did not dwell on the fact that he was a sinner in the past. Because, you know, if we dwell on all of the mistakes we've made in the past, sometimes that causes us to lose our energy for what we can accomplish for God in the present. I mean, think about where Paul was. Let's go back to the book of Acts in the 22nd chapter where Paul was retelling the story of his conversion and what he needed to do. In chapter 22 and verse 16, Ananias comes unto Paul and he says, "Now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Paul had sins in his life. Those sins needed to be washed away. He came to Jesus Christ so that he could be forgiven of those sins. But now, where was he going to go? Was he going to live in those sins of the past, or was he going to move forward? Notice, as he's talking to the Lord, he says in verse 19, "So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him." Paul said, I can't really serve you in a positive way because of my past, because of my sins. They're not going to have any trust in me. I'm not going to be able to accomplish a great deal. My past is always going to haunt me. It's always going to follow me. What was God's reaction to that? What was God's attitude about what Paul could accomplish? Verse 21, "Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far away from here to the Gentiles." God wanted him, yes, to repent of those sins. Yes, put them behind him. Have them cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. But not live in that sin. Not live in that guilt. So that he can't accomplish anything positive for the Lord. He wanted him to move forward. You think about the contrast between, say, for example, Judas and Peter. Judas betrayed the Lord. He had great remorse after doing so. And he killed himself. Really didn't accomplish anything great for the Lord. Contrast to that, you have Peter. Peter denied the Lord. He had great remorse for that. But he changed. And he began to proclaim the Lord. And Peter became a tremendous asset for the work of the Lord. The way that he was able to do that is to repent of his sins, to have the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse him of his sins, but then to move on from his sins. If he dwelt on his guilt and dwelt on his denial of the Lord over and over and over again, it could very well have stifled him so that he could not serve the Lord any longer and not really accomplish anything good. The Apostle Paul said, "I have forgotten those things that are behind." I remember talking to a man who felt very guilty. And the reason is because he was not faithful to the Lord when his kids were young. And in fact, his kids were old and his kids were about to leave the home and they were not faithful to the Lord. They were not serving the Lord properly. And he just felt such remorse for that, so much guilt for that. The problem was he was feeling so much guilt for that that it was holding him back in the present. In fact, he ended up falling away. In fact, the church had ended up having to withdraw from him Because he was not serving the Lord. He was not being faithful to the Lord. Why? Because he was dwelling on the past. He was dwelling on the mistakes of the past. He could have, as the Apostle Paul did, felt remorse for the past, tried to reconcile and try to make better those problems from the past and give a good example to his children, and then from the present forward, serve the Lord and serve the Lord in a positive way. That was really the only way that he was going to have a good influence and help to rectify some of those things that he did in the past. In a way, our sins in the past are like putting a nail into a board. A nail sometimes is hammered very deeply into a board. Well, by the grace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed, it's possible to remove that nail. The problem is there's still a hole there. And if we dwell on that hole and dwell on that mark, it can cause us to lose all heart and motivation to serve the Lord in the future. The wonderful thing is that our conscience, our hearts, our souls are not like a dead board. Yes, that nail might be driven in, that sin might be driven in, and when it's taken out, there might be a hole there, but we can heal. Again, I go back to this word here, forgetting the things that are behind. The word forgetting is in the present tense, which means it's a continuous action. We are forgiven of our sins by the blood of Jesus Christ, but the forgetting about those sins, in a sense, we never forget that we're sinners. In fact, that's good for us to remember that we were in sin. But if we dwell on that sin and dwell on that guilt and feel bad about that over and over and over again, it saps the passion that we have now for serving the Lord. So the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, allowing that to heal and moving forward was one of the keys for him to accomplish so much. Paul also said, not only forgetting those things which are behind, he says reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Paul also had a very positive view of the future. Notice again he says those things that are ahead. Let's look at the context here of what those things might be. I see Paul as an athlete. He used running a lot in his illustrations, perhaps as a runner. You know, a runner is someone who, for one, cannot constantly be thinking about the past and about the races that he lost, or else he's not going to run in the future, or maybe even the races that he won, or else he's not going to run well in the future. He has to work and work and work, and he has to work looking forward to the race he's going to run, looking forward to the prize that's before him, in order for every day to put in the work and to put in the diligence so that he might be prepared for that. That's the image that I see here of the Apostle Paul. Let's go again to chapter 3 and verse 10, where he says, back in Philippians, I was in Acts there, Philippians chapter 3, in verse 10, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfect. The Apostle Paul wanted to enjoy the fellowship with God, the present things. He talks about knowing him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death. This is the transition that we make when we become a Christian, when we die with Christ and buried in a resurrection, resurrected for a new life. But in verse 11, he's looking forward to the attaining for the resurrection from the dead. In the day of the resurrection, for the individual who is a Christian, there is going to be a great joy. There is going to be a great reward. Because on the day of resurrection, it's going to be the time when the time of preparation is over and the time of being with God in glory is going to begin. The resurrection is a transition time from the struggles of this life to the glories that are going to be in heaven. So Paul says that he was reaching forward to those things that are ahead. And in the context, he talks about the resurrection from the dead. So he has replaced the guilt that he's felt in the past. He's replaced with the accomplishments that he's had in the past to a striving after something that is before him in the future. And he describes it here in particular as the prize. The prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This particular prize, as he has here. Let's look at verse 12 again. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. It's a very complicated construction there, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Seems like Paul has the idea that Jesus Christ has laid hold of Paul, and he's laid hold of Paul for a reason. What would be the reason why Jesus had laid hold of Paul? I believe he laid hold of him so he could take him home. Laid hold of him so he can go to heaven. Laid hold of him so he can have this relationship with him for all eternity. So Jesus Christ has laid hold of Paul so that he might be able to go to heaven and have fellowship with God for all eternity. Now back again to verse 12. He says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Jesus had laid hold of him so that he could go to heaven, but Paul recognized that he wasn't in heaven yet. So he was pushing himself. He had this passion, he had this drive so that he could lay hold of heaven, which is the reason why Jesus laid hold of him in the first place. This was a driving force in his life. It's sort of like the motivation he talks about in the book of 1 Thessalonians when he's talking to brethren who apparently had lost some brother or sister who had died, who was in the Lord. They felt a great loss. Paul wanted to give them hope, something to look forward to, when he says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, and the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. We shall always be with the Lord. Things change here on this earth, but once we get to heaven, we will always be with the Lord. What is your goal? Where are you going? What is your purpose? Sometimes we have life, it just seems like it's spinning round and round and round. Our life is not just going in circles. Our life is moving toward a goal. And Paul says, I focus on that goal. I'm reaching for that goal. I'm striving so that goal might be mine. In fact, this word here, this reaching forward to those things that are ahead, that term there, reaching forward, was a term that was used by runners who were looking or stretching themselves forward so that they might be able to take that tape, so that they might be able to win that race. It's that idea of that singular drive, that purpose in mind. Paul was not being distracted by all of the things of this life, all of the suffering that he had to undergo, all of the problems that life many times entails. Paul had a goal in mind, and in his life he was pushing for that. It has the idea of an intensity that Paul was wanting to be with Jesus, wanting to have that home in heaven with God. We are stronger when we have a defined purpose. We are stronger when we're going toward a particular goal so that we are not simply distracted by all of the things in life. Sometimes we have so many things going on that we accomplish nothing. The Apostle Paul had a singular goal in mind, and that was to be with the Lord in the resurrection from the dead. He stretched forward for that, and that's one reason why he was able to accomplish so much. That was part of the one thing that he was doing. It not only had to do with the past, forgetting those things that are behind, and the future, reaching forward to those things that are ahead, it also had to do with the right now. What am I doing right now? And the Apostle Paul said, I press toward the goal. Again, we go back to chapter 3 of Philippians in verse 12. He uses this phrase, I press, twice. In verse 12, he says, Philippians chapter 3, not that I have already attained or am already perfected. But, in contrast to that, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul recognized that he was not yet perfected. Now, sometimes when we see the word perfected, we think of sinlessness or without any fault. That's not the way, I don't know that the Bible ever uses it in that sense. And it's certainly not the way that Paul is using it here. He's using it in the sense of completion. When you have a task to finish, it is not finished until it is complete. And the Apostle Paul says, I'm not yet done. I have not yet attained to the resurrection from the dead. I am not yet completed in this life. In fact, he uses the same idea, I think, back in the second chapter, talking to the brethren there at Philippians, when he says in chapter 2 and verse 12 of Philippians, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Paul wanted them to work out their salvation. And the idea is that they weren't yet finished. They weren't yet complete. Christianity is something that you begin when you are baptized into Christ. You are born again into the family of God. But you're not finished until you're finished. These brethren here in Philippi, they were suffering a great deal. They weren't finished yet. Work out into completion your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the Apostle Paul said, I'm not yet finished with my job. I'm not finished with my task. Now, it's interesting, there's a contrast. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, this is Paul just before his death. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved His appearing. Paul says, now I'm done. So Paul became a Christian when he was about 36 years old. He writes the book of Philippians when he's about 62 or 63 years old. And when he's 62 or 63, he says, I'm not yet finished. I'm not yet perfected. I have not yet obtained. In fact, he was in prison at the time, and he had confidence that he would be released from prison so he could continue to minister and continue to preach the gospel. But when he's 67 years old, which is when he wrote 2 Timothy, he was in prison again. He was recaptured, and now he's about to die. And he says, okay, now I'm done. I'm about ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I think this is a concept that all of us need to have, is that we're not finished until we're finished. And since we are not finished right now, we need to be pressing on. The Apostle Paul says that twice. Press on, and he's pressing on toward, pressing on toward the prize of the upward call. I thought I had that in your mind. I thought I had this highlighted. Highlight this: for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's the specific thing, the specific goal that he is trying to go toward, but it is this idea of pursuit, this idea of passion, this idea of movement in a positive direction. Paul had to do a lot of things in his life. He had to make tents at time. I'm sure that he visited his family on occasion. I'm sure that he went on vacations. I'm sure that he had some downtime. I'm sure that he had some recreation. All of those things were all part of his life. But what defined his life was his pressing on toward the goal. In the present tense, he was moving in a positive direction so that he could be able to go home with God in heaven, and so that he could bring as many with him as he could. Now let's go to one thing I do. One thing involved with his attitude toward the past, his attitude toward the future, which affected his movement in the present. In an athlete cannot rely upon what he's accomplished, the races that he's won in the past, or the races that he lost in the past. He cannot dwell on that to the point that he is stagnant in the present. He must forget those things that are behind, and he must reach forward to the prize, toward the goal, to what he wants to accomplish. And because of what he wants to accomplish right now, there needs to be some strength and some diligence and some power and some drive in what he's doing. The Apostle Paul said, that's my life. My life, I cannot dwell on the past, my accomplishments or my failures. It will sap my energy so that I cannot work for the Lord right now. The Apostle Paul says, I have this view in the future in mind of this prize. And so what it does to me right now is it fills me with passion so that I might truly accomplish great things for God. Yes, here we are, 2016. We're not just running around in circles. We're going somewhere. Let's get there and let's take as many people with us as we can. Let's have the passion that the Apostle Paul had. He accomplished great things because he surrendered unto the Lord. Let's accomplish as Jesus did, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We see the same thing in what Jesus did. He had passion for what he was doing. He was moving in a direction. He was diligent. He was driven by the goal that God had set for him. All of us can have that same passion and drive if we will have these attitudes of the Apostle Paul. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to think seriously about Jesus Christ. It is, Christianity, is the best life in the history of the world. We can accomplish great things for God with the passion and the focus that He gives us. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become one. If you are one and for some reason aren't moving in a positive direction, have sinned against God, come back. And let's begin to press on together. Won't you come while we stand and sing?